Have you found your place in Matthew's Gospel chapter 28? If so, and if you're able, you've been sitting a while, would you please stand as we read the Word of God together? Let me say before I read verses 18, 19, and 20 of Matthew chapter 28, by the time we begin our reading tonight, the Lord Jesus has risen victorious over death, hell, and the grave, and at this point is now preparing to ascend back to His throne in heaven and take His rightful place at the right hand of His Father. However, before He does so, He gives His disciples what has come to be known over the years as His Great Commission. Now, a commission is an authoritative command. It isn't a suggestion to be ignored. A commission, ladies and gentlemen, again, is an authoritative command. A commission is a directive. Here in the text that we're preparing to read tonight, the Lord gives His disciples their marching orders. As we'll see tonight by studying the Bible, these are the same marching orders that He has given Central Baptist Church of Ocala, Florida tonight. Matthew chapter 28 and verse number 18. The Bible says, "And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you alway, even unto the end of the world. Amen." Now, I want to encourage you, if you would please, leave your Bibles handy. We're going to be using them throughout the course of the Bible message tonight. Let's bow our heads, shall we, for a moment of prayer. Father, thank You for what You have already done in the service tonight. My, how I so appreciate each song that has been sung. The wonderful testimony, what a blessing it has been tonight to hear how that You continue to use Brother Allen and Miss Patty and these needy churches throughout our great country tonight. Certainly we ought to be challenged by that statistic. 80% of all independent Baptist churches today are on the decline. Thank You for touching a man's heart and raising him and his family up to make a difference for that cause in these last of the last days. Now, Father, I pray You knit our hearts together tonight. Lord, You know I desire to be a blessing, and if that's going to be the case, You'll have to make a preacher out of me tonight. The only way I can help is if You help me. And so I pray that You cleanse me of sin and self and fill me with Thy Holy Spirit, and I'll give You glory and honor. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Thank you so much for standing. Please be seated tonight. While considering these three verses of Scripture here in Matthew's Gospel, I felt impressed of the Lord tonight to ask you a question and use that question as the title of my message tonight. It is a question that I could not get away from while seeking the Lord's will for this very first service of your missions conference. The question tonight is simply this: why a missions revival? And of course, when I use that term missions revival, certainly you would understand tonight when I say that I'm speaking of much more than just a series of meetings that we customarily call a revival meeting. When I use the term missions revival, I'm talking about a genuine move of God in each of our hearts that causes us to not only hear, but to heed what God says in His Bible when it comes to this matter of reaching a lost and dying world with the gospel. Why a missions revival? I believe as we consider this very familiar text in front of us tonight, there are a few things that we should notice about world evangelism. First of all, these verses of Scripture teach us about our mandate. Jesus said, go. May I call your attention to the fact, ladies and gentlemen, Jesus did not say, if you feel like it, go. That's not what Jesus said. Jesus did not say, you know, all you folks down there in Ocala, Florida, you got a lot of irons in the fire. You got a lot of things going on. Why? You got a lot of things on your daily schedule. And therefore, let me just put it like this. As long as it's convenient, as long as you can fit it in your daily schedule, then I would appreciate it if you would go. That's not what Jesus said. And that'd be a mighty good place to get a good hearty amen. Jesus said, go. Jesus, ladies and gentlemen, didn't leave going up for discussion. Jesus simply said, go. Quite frankly, tonight, you and I either go or you and I say no. If not with our lips, with our own lives, we are either obedient or we are disobedient. But God sent me here to tell you tonight that He said, go. We see our mission. We see our mandate, rather. Secondly, we see our mission. Ladies and gentlemen, we have been instructed to go and teach all nations, baptizing those who turn from their sin to the Savior, baptizing those who are taught in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Yes, we see our mandate, but we see our mission. We also in the text see our message. We have been instructed to teach those same people to observe all things that Christ has commanded us to do. We have a message tonight. And then, of course, these verses of Scripture teach us about our Master. The reason that we can do all of those things is because since all power has been given to our Master, the Lord has promised to go with us even unto the end of the world. Thank God for our Master. And therefore, let me hasten to ask each and every one of you here at the Central Baptist Church a question tonight. Why is it in some Christians' lives, in spite of our mandate, in spite of our mission, in spite of the message, in spite of the command from our Master, why is it more times than not the Great Commission has in fact become the great omission? It's sad to say tonight, but nevertheless true. According to recent statistics, 95% of all Christians have never led a single soul to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. 80% of all Christians do not consistently witness for the Lord. Less than 2% are involved in the ministry of evangelism in any way. 71% do not give faithfully or even somewhat regularly to the work of world evangelism. Ladies and gentlemen, surely you would agree with me tonight when I say that God's church stands in need of a real missions revival. And again, when I use the term missions revival, I'm not just speaking of a Wednesday night through a Sunday evening set of meetings. I'm talking about a real, genuine move of the thrice holy God of glory moving in our hearts to the point that we determine, having been revived, to not only hear but to heed what this Bible teaches us about taking the gospel to the world. Now, with that in mind, I want you to turn with me in your Bible, if you would please, to the 85th Psalm. And while you're finding your place in the 85th Psalm, I want to read just one verse of Scripture. And then after I read it, I want you to read it audibly with me. I'm trusting the Holy Spirit of God would get this verse of Scripture beyond our heads to the point that it finds a lodging place in our hearts. Oh, if that could be the case, my, what a great way to start a missions conference tonight. The 85th Psalm in verse 6, the psalmist asks a very sobering question. Wilt thou not revive us again that thy people may rejoice in thee? Now, I want to back up and read the verse again and encourage each of you, if you would please, would you read the verse audibly with me? Let's read it together, shall we? Wilt thou not revive us again that thy people may rejoice in thee? Most Bible commentators feel the immediate occasion of the psalmist penning this particular psalm was the return of the Jewish remnant back to the capital city of Jerusalem after the 70-year period of Babylonian captivity. Needless to say, that 70-year period of bondage left Jerusalem in great need physically, materially, and certainly spiritually. The houses of God's people, as well as their places of business and worship, well, they were not only ruined, they were wasted as well. And therefore, it goes without saying tonight, there was a tremendous need for no less than real revival on many fronts within the land of God's people. And therefore, as a result of the great need of revival, the psalmist begins praying for no less than that within verses 4 through 7 of the 85th Psalm. In fact, here in this particular psalm, you and I not only have record of the psalmist praying, but the Bible goes into great depths to teach us exactly what the psalmist was praying for. First of all, if you'll notice in verse 4, the psalmist is praying for repentance. He said in verse 4, turn us, O God, of our salvation, and cause thine anger toward us to cease. Turn us, O God. The psalmist is praying for repentance. The psalmist is praying for rejoicing. Notice the last few words of verse number 6. That thy people may what? Rejoice in thee. So yes, the psalmist is praying for repentance, but he's praying for rejoicing. But then if you'll notice the first portion of verse 6, here we have record, ladies and gentlemen, of the psalmist praying for revival. Wilt thou not revive us again? Let me back up and read those 6 words again. Would you read them audibly with me? Let's read them together, shall we? Wilt thou not revive us again? Yes, here in the 85th Psalm, particularly as we zero in on verse number 6, we discover together, church, that here the psalmist is praying for, he is seeking God for no less than real revival. He was well aware of the fact that God had blessed Israel before. Now he is praying that God would bless Israel again. He was well aware of the fact that God had touched and used Israel before, and now as he picks up an inspired pen, he is praying, he is trusting that God would bless and help Israel again. He prays according to our key text tonight, wilt thou not revive us again? Oh, and as I hasten to make application to the truth of the psalm before us, please allow me to go on record by saying tonight, I believe one of the greatest needs of this hour in which you and I are blessed to live within the ministry of the local church is the need for the local church to experience a real heaven-sent, devil-disturbing revival. And of course, I realize there is a tremendous need for revival on many fronts within the church. But for just a few moments, I want to go on record by saying tonight that I believe the church needs real missions revival. Someone said on one occasion, and I agree, missions, soul winning, church planning, that's God's business. And any church that isn't in the business of carrying out God's business has no business being in business. That felt so good, I think I'll back up and say it again. Soul winning, church planning, leading people to the Lord, sharing the gospel, sending the gospel around the world. That's God's business. And any local church that isn't in the business of carrying out God's business has no business being in business. That'd be a good place to say amen. A few weeks ago now, Cassie and I, a few days ago actually, Cassie and I celebrated our 34th wedding anniversary. And you got to be impressed that I got the year right. 34 years Cassie and I have been married. And so I took a few days off and we spent some time together just to celebrate our wedding anniversary. And we went down the road from our house a few hours to beautiful Savannah, Georgia. I love Savannah, Georgia. It's one of my favorite places in the world. And I love waking up to a cup of coffee. There's a little coffee shop, and we get up very early. We're early risers anyway, and we walk to that little coffee shop, and we get coffee, and we sit out on the square, one of the squares there in Savannah, Georgia. And if you get there at 8 o'clock, a church there in that square, they play chimes for about 15 minutes or so. And we love to take our cup of coffee very early in the morning, Brother Benfey, and sit in that square, sip coffee, whisper sweet nothings in each other's ear, tell each other how much we love each other, and listen to the chimes play from the church in the square. Well, I usually have, I don't know, 2 or 3 cups of coffee in the morning, and I'm pretty much done for the rest of the day until about 3 p.m. At 3 p.m., something on the inside says, gotta have one more cup of coffee. You gotta, now I'm telling you, at 3 p.m., wherever I, if I'm preaching, I'm gonna have to sip on a cup of coffee while I'm preaching, if I'm preaching at 3 p.m. And so when we were walking down the street of Savannah one day, it came up on 3 p.m. And I told Miss Cassie, I said, Hup, I could tell you that it was about 3 p.m. because something on the inside of me said, it's time for the last cup of coffee for the day. And so I went in to a real nice looking little coffee store on the corner of one of the main streets there in Savannah, Georgia. I'm telling you, it was about 15 minutes past 3 p.m. and I was fired up for the last cup of coffee. I was looking forward to it. Now, I know it's probably carnal for me to love coffee that much, but I'm telling you, I'm just a carnal preacher. You'll have to pray for me. But I love it. I had missed that 3 p.m. cup for coffee by about 15 minutes. So by that time, by the time I walked in the coffee store, I was already a little on edge. I was getting a little cranky. And so I went in and I had, first of all, I had to wait in line. I mean, not just a little wait. This particular coffee shop, they had all kinds of danishes. They had all kinds of cookies. They had all kinds of breads and cakes. And Cassie loved those macaroons, whatever they make those things out of egg whites. And I just don't see the point myself. I mean, just give me a cinnamon roll. But whatever you do, man, bring on the coffee. So I wait in line and I wait. And I wait, and I wait, and I step up, and I wait, and I wait, and I step up, and I wait, and I wait, and I finally make my way to the front. And I said, yes, ma'am, I just want a large cup of coffee. Do you know what that woman told me? She said, sir, I'm so sorry, but we are all out of coffee. If you have a coffee shop,
come on, you're preaching good.
Are you listening to me tonight? Now, I don't mean to get so upset this very first night, preacher, but if you have a coffee shop and you ain't got no coffee, shut the doors. Call the dogs home. The hunt is over. What kind of coffee shop? You can tell I'm fighting bitterness about it in my heart. What kind of coffee shop says they're a coffee shop but has no coffee? World evangelism, church planting, soul winning, leading people to the Lord, preaching the gospel. That's God's business. And any local church that isn't in the business of carrying out God's business has no business being in business. That's why we need a missions revival. We need missions revival because Jesus said, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Why missions revival? Because the hour is late and the need has never been greater. Why missions revival? Because souls are dying and men are crying. Why missions revival? Because it really is tonight the way Jesus said it would be. The harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. In the next 10 minutes, now some of you don't believe that, but I want to give you three quick reasons before we join together in prayer why we need a missions revival this week. We need a missions revival this week at Central Baptist Church because, number one, the condition of the sinner. Hear me tonight, on the sea of life, sinners are drowning. On the road of life, sinners are lost. Paul declared in Ephesians chapter 2 that before a man turns from his sin to the Savior, he is dead in trespasses and in sin. Dead, that's what the Bible says. The sinner is hopeless without Jesus. The sinner is helpless without Jesus. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Every one of them is gone back. They are all together become filthy. The psalmist said in the 53rd Psalm, there is none that doeth good, no, not one. Hear me tonight. The greater majority of the now almost 8 billion people on this planet, they are lost. Most of them have never heard the name of Jesus, much less a clear presentation of the gospel. You know why we need a missions revival this week? Because of the condition of the sinner. You want to know why we need and must have a missions revival this week? The command of the Savior. Jesus said, go. I made the statement earlier. I believe the truth bears repeating. Jesus didn't say, if you feel like it, go. Jesus didn't say, as long as you get a warm, fuzzy feeling about it, then that's not what Jesus said. Jesus said, go. Are you aware of the fact tonight you can't spell the word gospel until you first write the word go? In fact, you can't even write God's name without writing the word go first. 2/3 of God's own name is the word go. Jesus said, go. It isn't a suggestion to be ignored. It is a command to be obeyed. And Jesus said in the Gospel of John, chapter number 14 and verse number 15, if you love me, what? Keep my command. Hear me tonight. There is a biblically based truth that we need never lose sight of. God is a missionary God. The Lord Jesus is a missionary son. Jesus had 12 disciples, and the only one of them that did not turn out to be a missionary turned out to be a traitor. The Holy Spirit is a missionary spirit. The Holy Spirit inspired a missionary book, the Bible. The Bible isn't just the basis of missions. Missions is the basis of the Bible. God is a God of missions. He wills missions. He commands missions. He demands missions. You know why we need a missions revival this week? Because Jesus said to reach the world. And my lack of enthusiasm to do what Jesus said do assures me that I need a fresh touch from the Lord this week. Real missions revival. Well, there's the condition of the sinner, the command of the Savior, but finally, we need a real missions revival this week because of the consideration of the seat. And let me explain what I mean by that. I believe with all of my heart, and I know your pastor feels this way, the next prophetic event on God's prophetic calendar is the rapture of the church. God said through the pen of the Apostle Paul in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, "But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord." Jesus is coming. Amen. His coming is imminent. Are you hearing me tonight? That just simply means he could come at any moment. He could come at any second. Jesus, his coming is imminent. It will be immediate. It will take place in a moment. Not in the blinking of an eye. It's going to take place much quicker than that. The Bible says that it's going to take place in the twinkling of an eye. But never, never forget. Jesus reminded us in Revelation 22, "Behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me to give every man according as his work shall be." And whereas there has been a great deal of discussion on exactly when God's people will stand at the judgment seat of Christ, there is one truth that all Bible commentators agree on, and that is the fact we will all stand there, child of God. Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, "Wherefore we labor, that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body, according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad." Then Paul said in verse 11 of 2 Corinthians 5, "Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. We are made manifest unto God, and I trust also are made manifest in your consciousness." Oh, the judgment seat of Christ. Paul asked the Romans in Romans 14, "But why dost thou judge thy brother? Or why dost thou set at naught thy brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. For it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. So then every one of us shall give an account of himself to God." Why a missions revival? I'll tell you why we need a brand new burden for the lost. I'll tell you why we need a real touch of God this week at the Central Baptist Church, because Jesus could come at any moment. Jesus could come at any second. And if Jesus comes before we're blessed to see the sunrise of another morning, we're going to the judgment seat. And at the judgment seat, you and I will give an account of how faithful we have been to carry out God's will on this earth. Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, "According to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder. I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. For other foundation can no man lay than that that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now if any man build upon this foundation gold, silver, precious stone, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. When I first started reading my Bible and studying my Bible, I would read that verse. But he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. And wonder what Paul was talking about. I discovered by studying my Bible that the idea here is as a man escapes a house that has burnt down around him, just as such a man has nothing to show, nothing to prove that he ever lived there. The man that refuses to labor faithfully for the cause of Christ will have nothing to show for his service to the Lord, having lived on this earth. It's no wonder John said in the book of 1 John chapter 2, and now little children, abide in him, that when he shall appear we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. Do you want to know why Scott Caudle needs a missions revival this week? I'll tell you why. Because, Brother Nathan, I don't want to be ashamed. When he comes, Brother Delaney, I don't want to be ashamed. Man, I want to go out preaching. I want to go out winning somebody to Jesus. I want to go out helping the Delaneys get to South Korea. I want to go out writing more number one sellers like "Don't Touch the Microphone." I just want to be used of God in a mighty way. True story, and I'm through tonight. You've listened so well. Every time I'm blessed to stand in the pulpit of Central Baptist Church and preach the Bible, I'm reminded of why I love coming here. I love this place. I told the preacher, this is like homecoming day. Man, I love coming here. Amen. True story. It was the first church that I pastored. I pastored the Island Ford Baptist Church in Jonesville, North Carolina. I was there about 4 years. And I was in the Navy for 6 years before I went to the church to pastor. I'll condense a whole long story into just about a minute here. But God called me to preach the gospel while I was stationed on board the USS Dwight D. Eisenhower, home ported in Norfolk, Virginia. I started Bible college at the Tabernacle Baptist Bible College of Virginia Beach, Virginia. I'd work during the day. Cassie and I'd pack up and go to Bible college classes at night. Well, I got out of the Navy on a Wednesday, and my home church was without a pastor the following Sunday. They asked me if I'd fill the pulpit. Well, I filled the pulpit for about 4 years and went to Bible college locally. And got my Bible college training while I was pastoring the church. You talk about green. I mean, when I started pastoring, I had had one class in Bible college, and it was on the Pentateuch, and I didn't even know how to spell that. So I started pastoring the following Sunday. Boy, God started moving. Miss Patty, folks started getting saved, and man, we got an old van and started running that van on Sunday mornings, and it went from 2 to 10 to 15, and then we bought a bus, and then we bought another bus, and it was just amazing to watch the Lord work there for about 4 years before God moved me to the second of three churches that I pastored in 21 years. And I'll never forget, God really laid a very sobering message on my heart one Sunday about the judgment seat of Christ. Boy, I preached that message that day, and God touched it. But I'll never forget, I was standing at the door thanking people for coming to church that day, and one of the elderly members of the church came up to me. Now, she was probably, I don't know, 60 years my senior. And she took my little old young hand, she patted me on the hand, and this is what she said. "Oh, preacher, all those rewards. As long as I get there, that's the only thing that matters to me." Now, I was a young whippersnapper then, and I just kept my mouth shut. But if you come to me after the service tonight, you take me by the hand, and you say, "Brother Caudle, all those rewards at the judgment seats doesn't interest me. As long as I get there," you know what I'm going to tell you? I'm going to go ahead and give you a heads up. This is what I'm going to tell you. Only a fool, are you listening?
Yes, sir.
Only a fool would make a statement like that. You're standing before the one who has open wounds in his hands, his side, his feet. You're standing before the God of glory. His Son is sitting there, and He laid down His life for you. And when everyone else who labored faithfully and won the soul winner's crown and gave faithfully, willfully, over and above their regular tithes and offerings so that others could hear the gospel, as we begin to throw our crowns at the feet of the Savior, and we have nothing to throw, don't you tell me the only thing that will matter then is just that you made it. I don't, brother, I'm telling you, I don't want to be ashamed of any kind. I don't want to be ashamed. I want to have something to throw at His feet. You want to know why we need missions revival this week? Because we go in the judgment seat. And Paul made it abundantly clear, or I should say God through the pen of the Apostle Paul made it abundantly clear. If you are a child of God, you're standing there.
Yes, sir.
And so am I. We're all going. So I just wonder tonight, this first night, it'd be a good night to ask this question. How many of us could honestly say tonight, "Preacher, there is absolutely no way I could have a greater burden for the lost than what I have right now. Preacher, there's no way. There's no way I could pray any more than I pray right now that the Lord would use me to reach the lost with the gospel. Preacher, there's just no way. Preacher, I really don't. I'm glad you preach that because there's some people here that need it, but not me, preacher." I just wonder how many of us would be honest tonight. And we would say, "You know what, this very first night, I could have a greater burden." Now, I care about the people of South Korea, but I'm honest, I really don't care like I should. What about your lost neighbor? Your lost coworker, your lost friend, your lost classmate? I'm just wondering tonight if having a real missions revival would change our lives forever. So you know what I'm praying? That's what I'm praying for. Now look, I love going to church. If you want to go to church, let me get up here so I can say, I love seeing all these young folks up here. Hey, if you want to go to church this week, I love going to church. I went to church 9 months before I was born. I cut my teeth on a Baptist hymnal. I love going to church. And if you want to go to church, I'll go to church with you. We'll go to church all night long if you want to. But I tell you what I'd rather have. I'd rather have real revival.
That's right.
And I think, if you'd be honest, you'd rather have real revival too. So as we stand to our feet all over the building tonight, as we stand to our feet this evening, I'm just wondering if there's anyone that would love to slip out from where you're standing right now, make a trip to this old-fashioned altar, find you a place to stand or kneel, or find you a place somewhere up here and pray that same prayer the psalmist prayed in the 85th Psalm in verse 6. Wilt thou not revive us again, that thy people may rejoice in thee? Oh yes, we need missions revival. We need revival rather on many fronts within the church. But this week we're centering our hearts and our minds on the real need for missions revival. I'm going to lead us in a prayer, and then Pastor is going to conclude the invitation as the Lord leads him to do so.